The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie. We are going over to speak to Sonia Purnell now about Kingmaker, Pamela Churchill Harriman's astonishing life of seduction, intrigue and power. Can't wait to hear more. Welcome to the show, Sonia.
Thank you so much.
Now, I know that she was Winston Churchill's daughter-in-law, but tell us all about her. What about is this life of seduction, intrigue and power?
Well, she was Churchill's daughter-in-law during the Second World War, married to his only son, Randolph, who was, I'm afraid to say, a bit of a brute and a bully, and the marriage was not a success, although she did give birth to young Winston. And this was at a time, beginning of the war, when Britain's plight was pretty desperate. We thought we were going to be invaded at any moment. We didn't have the men, the money, the materiel to defend ourselves. Churchill decided that the only way that we would survive and carry on the fight was by bringing America in. But America wouldn't fight. America didn't want to expend any more dollars or blood on another European war. And so in the meantime, we just had to persuade Americans to support us, to help us with the planes and the ships and even the food and medicines we needed. And interestingly, at that desperate time, desperate measures were called for. And Pamela was up for this, by the way. Churchill got her really to seduce important Americans and try and enlist them to the British cause and meanwhile extract interesting and important information from them. The special relationship didn't exist at this point. And she literally seduced them, her first target. And it was all strategic. Her entire sex life during the Second World War was strategic. Her marriage was in ruins. That was really put to one side. And she targeted one important American after another. And they pretty much all fell for her charms. And Avril Harriman, who was her first target, when he eventually went back to Washington, he was quite a cold-hearted fellow. No one expected him to come back so enthusiastic about saving Britain. "We must do anything we can," he said, "to save the Brits." People said, "You've been bewitched. What's happened to you?" And what had happened to him is that he'd been seduced by Pamela.
Did she marry him then? Because that's the same surname.
Well, she did. Eventually, during the war, she didn't. He was married to someone else, actually. 30 years later, when his wife Marie died and her then-husband Leland Haywood died, they got it together again. And he regretted greatly that he hadn't married her at the end of the war and used to say that it had been 25 wasted years. but they did eventually get married, and that's why she took the name Harriman. And that was her route into Democratic politics in the US. And kind of like the third stage of her life.
Blimey. So, yeah, Winston Churchill's daughter-in-law, so she was in the UK, went to America. Am I right in thinking she married three times, though?
She did marry three times. So first of all, Randolph, they had one child. They then got divorced in 1945. As I said, it was deeply, deeply unhappy, and he was a pretty unpleasant character. She then went on to be a courtesan, you might say, a grande horizontale, the mistress of many rich, famous, and powerful men in Europe, Gianni Agnelli of Fiat, Elie de Rothschild, several others, Ali Khan. She didn't marry any of them, but she did eventually marry Leland Haywood, who was an American, and the man who brought us the musical The Sound of Music.
Oh, wow.
And so she then had a sort of 10, 11 years very much involved in Hollywood, in theatrical circles, but she always yearned for a political life. And when Leland died and when Avril's wife died as well, Marie, they then got it together, and that was her route into American politics, because she tasted power. During the Second World War, she'd lived in Downing Street with Churchill. She'd seen him, you know, operate, conduct a world war, what that was like. The excitement of it was enormous for her. She was a young woman from Dorset, a young aristocrat. Her father was a lord. They didn't have that much money, but they had a very big house. But they lived away, tucked away in the country, and that's not what she wanted. She wanted power and excitement and the thrill of geopolitics. And she got that during the war through Churchill, which was the reason why she'd married Randolph in the first place. It was very much a business transaction. And then she spent the next several decades trying to find another way back to the nexus of power. And that involved going to America and eventually marrying Harriman and getting involved in the Democratic Party. And she was the one really who discovered Clinton as the person who might end the long streak of losing to the Republicans. And she tutored him. She taught him everything she learned from Churchill and much else besides subsequently. And I interviewed him and he said to me, absolute matter of fact, oh, yes, you know, she got me into the White House and she did a lot of, you know, training me up beforehand. I wouldn't have been ready to stand before the world as president without her help and counselling and experience of the great events of the 20th century.
That's incredible. It's incredible to interview Bill Clinton, full stop. But what she's done is incredible.
It is. And what's even more incredible is that she was so misrepresented during her lifetime. People knew about her affairs during the war, or some of them. They had no idea that it was all about a strategic goal and, you know, that she was passing back vital information, including on competing bombing strategies, for example, between the Brits and the Americans. People had no idea. She couldn't talk about it. Obviously, it was highly secret. I've never talked about it during her lifetime. I was very, very privileged to be able to get some private papers that hadn't been opened before. And suddenly this whole world started to unfold. But equally, what she did in the Democratic Party over in the States was also not really well known. Again, I was able to find out what had happened through papers, but also the fact that people, quite a few people are still alive, including Bill Clinton himself. Like, that was a really, really interesting conversation, and he was unbelievably complimentary about what she had done for both Britain and America. And of course, eventually he made her the American ambassador to France. And just to give you a context of how extraordinary that was, this was a woman who'd never been to school. She'd been taught by a barely educated governess. Her spelling and her maths were sometimes a little bit ropey. But she had this very good brain. And finally, at the age of 73, she got her first formal job. And in Paris, she made quite a splash. And again, through personal private conversations and papers, I discovered that she played a huge role in the peace process in Bosnia, telling people she knew what it was like to survive the Blitz bombardment. She gave birth during an air raid, and that there was a moral obligation to intervene to stop the bloodshed in Bosnia in the 1990s. So again, she played this pivotal role in world history, but again, behind closed doors. And really, this is the first time that we're seeing any of this.
I'm just trying to work out. So we've mentioned Churchill and you've mentioned Bill Clinton. So in between, because she was in America for quite a long time, would she have been dealing with the Kennedys, maybe?
Yes. I mean, literally, it's very difficult to think of anyone that you've heard of pretty much in 20th century history that she didn't have something to do with. She knew Jack Kennedy extremely well. She'd met him just before the war in London when his father came over as ambassador. She was very close friends with his sister, Kick. She became close to Jack as well. I mean, there were, again, things in her papers, dedications to her from him. She also asked him for favors when one of Leland's musicals was doing very badly, and this was during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And ironically, it was called Mr. President, this musical. Jack Kennedy left the White House, left the great difficulties and dramas that were going on so that he could watch at least part of the musical and give it a little bit of a boost. So they were very close, and she was absolutely devastated when he was assassinated in 1963. She was also close to Bobby and campaigned and fundraised for both brothers, and again was distraught because he too was assassinated. So she was very close to the Kennedys, including their mother, Rose. But, you know, she was also close to Biden. So the fact that Biden is leaving the world stage at the end of this year finally means that her political influence is coming to an end. But, you know, it lasted from 1940 to 2024. So that's a pretty good span. But, you know, she tutored him. She spotted him early on as a young senator that he was likely to be a star. When he got into trouble during the 1988 presidential race, he was accused of plagiarizing a Neil Kinnock speech and had to withdraw. She wrote to him this private letter, which I've now found, advising him that it was only a wrinkle in his career and that one day he would most likely make it to the White House. And of course, she was right, even if it took quite a long time. So she knew Mandela. Again, she was also an advisor to Nelson Mandela in South Africa when he had the first elections. So it's just such a long and incredible list. She had such a life, at the same time as being incredibly glamorous and going around in yachts and fast cars and, you know, visiting palaces and things. So everything is in there.
And yet I read that when she died in 97, the obituaries that followed were quite scathing and sometimes quite sexist.
Yes, I'm afraid that was absolutely true. One of the lines that did the rounds, not in the notebook but elsewhere, was that she was expert only in the subject of rich men's ceilings. I mean, what a put down. Yeah. But actually, how unfair. Because if you do examine her life, if you look at the letters, if you look at the archives, if you talk to the people who watched her close up working, I mean, again, she went to see Andropov in Moscow in 1983 to try and open up channels of communication between the West and the Russians. You know, it's endless what she got involved in, but always behind closed doors. And so people just saw the glamour. And they saw this woman who'd had many exciting and wealthy lovers, and they assumed that that was all there was to her. How wrong they were.
Well, yes, and thank goodness you've written the book to put it all right now. Change the course of history.
Well, yes, I hope so. It is a cracking tale. I had no idea when I started it was going to be quite the tale it was, but it was very, very exciting to discover.
Well, I know you've written many other books, including The Life of Mrs. Winston Churchill as well, the best-selling Clementine. Do you have a website if people want to find out more about the other work you do?
I certainly do. It's soniapurnell.com, very easy to remember. But the Kingmaker is on sale now in the US and will be on sale from tomorrow in Europe and the UK. Quite something, I have to say. The wonderful review today in the Financial Times, or online today in the Financial Times. So do look that up.
Well done, well done. Well, just to reiterate for our listeners, it's called Kingmaker and it's by Sonia Purnell, who we're chatting to now. Thank you so much for sharing her story with us, Sonia, and have a good day.
Thank you, you too. Thanks so much. Bye now.